This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. As long as there have been stories of princesses, there have been little girls to love them. The Disney princess phenomenon seeds young imaginations with shiny pink costumes. Gossip magazines continue the fantasy with pages devoted to Kate Middleton and before her, princesses Grace and Diana, the latter proving that becoming royalty is no guarantee of living happily ever after. Beyond these two-dimensional characters are scores of real princesses, sometimes tragic, often extraordinary human beings who left scant record of their lives. Linda Rodriguez-McRobbie scoured through history for stories of women who fought and stole and schemed and survived and pulls them together in her new book, Princesses Behaving Badly, Real Stories from History Without the Fairy Tale Endings. And Linda Rodriguez-McRobbie joins us now from the BBC in London. Welcome to you.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
You introduce us in your book to what you call the princess industrial complex and the princess obsession default setting for many little girls. What worries you about that?
Well, I think I'm certainly not alone in being worried about it, but I think largely what concerns me is that that also seems to imply both an unjustified sense of entitlement and also not particularly accurate representations of reality, accurate expectations of what girls can and should achieve. And really, it just sort of promotes this fantasy that the most exciting thing about being a girl or being a grown-up girl is, you know, pretty dresses and ball gowns and sparkly things and makeup and Prince Charmings. And when you look at characters like Merida, the most recent princess from Disney Pixar's Brave, she's a great character. I loved her. I thought it was a fun movie. And I thought that she was really sort of, you know, she's harnessing her own destiny, all those sorts of things. But that's really only half the story that girls get. The other half of the story is all the merchandising that goes along with it. And I think that is almost more powerful than the original material. And, you know, so for example, in the case of Merida, one of the most popular items that was for sale, one of the most popular merchandise items was this doll that came in this sparkly blue dress, the dress that she hated in the movie, and was accessorized by a hair comb. That's not really the point of this character, but that's kind of the message that the little girls get. They take away this message of, you know, dress up heels and sparkly and pink and that's a little limiting to me and a little worrying in how much emphasis it places on physical appearance and possessions.
So let's dig into some of those stories. You have warriors like Alfhild, who became a pirate, and Ping Yang, who commanded an army of 70,000, and one that I especially liked, Olga of Kiev, who slaughtered many people, the Derevilian tribe, who had murdered her husband. They offered her another husband. They sent an envoy of people. She buried them alive. They sent another envoy of people. She killed them. Tell me about this woman's trajectory to what she became, a saint.
It's absolutely fascinating. She basically slaughters her way through this entire tribe before she eventually makes war on their lands and forces the people behind the wall of their main city for a siege that lasted about a year. During that siege, she told them towards the end of it, she said, well, you know what, we should call us off, you know, and if you guys should give me some birds from your houses, I will go in peace, I swear. So they're like, okay, we believe you this time. So each family presented her with a gift of these birds. And that night she had her men tie pieces of lit sulfur, basically lit matches, to all the feet of the birds, which then flew home to roost in the homes of the people who just given them to her, setting the entire city on fire. And that's how she won. She eventually converted to Christianity, which kind of wipes the slate clean. And the whole murdering lots and lots of people thing, just, you know, it didn't happen. It was part of her pagan past before she became a Christian.
Linda Rodriguez-McRobbie is with us to talk about bad, bad princesses. Her new book is called Princesses Behaving Badly, Real Stories from History Without the Fairy Tale Endings. Many of the stories of these women here defy the idea that women through history did, you know, needlepoint and dressed in gowns while their husbands ruled. Tell us about some of the female rulers that you became aware of in your research.
There's certainly quite a few of them. And I think it's also important to note that, simply just because they were a female ruler doesn't mean that they were a very good ruler. There were a number of women that I came across who, were just as flawed as the men were. Other women, however, were very good at what they did and to some degree were punished for being just as ruthless or as ambitious as the men around them. Wu Zaishan was an emperor of China. She had ruled for years and years and years through her husband, who had been emperor of the 7th century dynasty, the Song dynasty, until she eventually just declared for herself after he died that she was the emperor, and that was it. She was a very effective ruler in a lot of ways. Under her, I think taxes went down and, deserving officials were given pay rises. War kind of stopped. At the same time, because she was a female ruler and because that was so shocking and so monstrous to a number of the people in power and around her, she's been historically maligned and treated as this sort of demon. Now, how much of the stories are true, it's difficult to say, but there is certainly an element of slandering her because she didn't fit the mold. She didn't fit what women were supposed to do then.
Well, lest we think that your book is all about old world princesses, we do have the Native American Sarah Winnemucca of the Northern Paiute tribe, and Clara Ward, a woman who in the 20th century married into royalty. Which one of those stories would you like to pick up?
Oh, I'd love to talk about Clara Ward. She's one of my favorites. She was married off to this Belgian prince in the 1890s, and in 1896, ran off with a Hungarian gypsy violinist. So she left her marriage, ran off with a gypsy violinist that she met in Paris. Very romantic. She was divorced from her husband by January of next year, and by February of the following year of 1897, all the newspapers were reporting that her relationship with the gypsy Hungarian violinist was stormy, tempestuous, involved lots of fighting in hot hotels and things like that. She eventually left him and married someone else who may have been a railway station manager or a waiter. No one's really sure about that. And they divorced after he claimed that she was having an affair with the butler, whereupon she may have married the butler, although it's not clear whether he was a butler or someone else, a chauffeur, who knows. But I think the thing that I really loved about Clara Ward was that she really followed her own star. She did what she wanted to do. And there was certainly some collateral damage. I don't think she ever saw her children from her first marriage again. And she was, widely slandered and considered one of the most scandalous women of the time in newspaper accounts across both continents. But she had a good time. Certainly can't deny that she had a good time.
So what you're doing is telling stories not just of not of princesses behaving badly necessarily, but strategically. And in trying to tell those real stories, we do have sex and incest and infidelity and murder and plotting and scheming. If you are trying to recast the princess, are these appropriate stories for tween girls? How should we tell these stories?
They're definitely not appropriate for tween girls, in a number of ways. But I think it's a valuable lesson to remember that it's not only tween girls who are kind of infected by this princess industrial complex idea. It's the parents who end up buying the sparkly dresses for their daughters. But also, we are fascinated as adults with this idea of the princess fantasy. And equally, then there's our fascination with Kate Middleton, who, by and large, is being turned into a kind of cardboard cutout of a modern princess. And I have no idea how she feels about it, but it's slightly worrying to see so much attention paid to her wardrobe, so much attention paid to her post-baby body, and so much attention paid to sort of her behavior as it ranks among princesses, and not about the other things that she does, other things like charity work and the things that she says and things like that. So The book isn't aimed at tweens for sure, but it is aimed at every one of us who still kind of believes in the princess fantasy.
Linda Rodriguez McRobbie writes for the Smithsonian Magazine, Mental Floss, and other publications. Her new book is Princesses Behaving Badly: Real Stories from History Without the Fairy Tale Endings. Linda, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
Now you can find much more in the book at wordofmouthradio.org.